Text 51551. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, while most of us will be tucking into our turkey or whatever you're having on Christmas Day, our next three guests will be working away. We have Trevor, Emma and Darren. Good afternoon. Thanks for coming in. Working on Christmas Day. OK, so we'll start with you, Trevor. You're chairman of the Christmas Day Dinner Committee that happens on Christmas Day in the RDS in Dublin. So how long have you been doing it?
I've been doing it, I think this is my 11th year.
Right.
Feels like a lot longer, but I think it's my 11th year.
And how long has that tradition been going?
We're celebrating our centenary this year. So our records indicate that in 1924, there were 500 homeless men entertained to a Christmas dinner in the Mansion House by the Knights of St. Columbanus. And this year, we'll have 500 people sitting down with us in the RDS.
You specifically said men.
Yeah. It was men. It used to be men. It used to be homeless men. I presume after the First World War and all of the political situation and the flu epidemic that had happened in the early days
of the
1918 time, that there were, you know, and general poverty at the time, that there would have been a large homelessness crisis back then as well. But it was men. It has changed utterly in the time since then. And now, you know, we don't ask any questions. We just open up the doors and whoever comes in, a lot of families coming in.
So 500 people in the RDS.
500 people in the RDS, and then another 5,000 meals sent out around the Greater Dublin area. We work with organisations like Alone, the HSE, do a huge number Meals on Wheels, Age Action Ireland.
So they come to the RDS, collect them,
it's
and
like
distribute them.
It's like a fast food takeaway drive through. We've 5,000 meals, another 2,500 gift bags of Christmas goodies, and it is drive up, have your order ready, keep the engine running, we'll load the bags and the meals into the back of the car and off you go. So
when you say we, how many
we,
of a
we
team?
Have there'll be 300 volunteers in the RDS on Christmas morning. We'll have 500 guests and we'll have about another 300 drivers come into the RDS. So it's a hive of activity.
Right, right.
It's really, really busy. Great atmosphere.
And they're delivering meals all over Dublin, and our next guest may be delivering a baby. See what I did there, Emma? See what I did there?
That's a great segue.
Great job.
I've been doing this for quite some time now. And how long have you been a midwife?
I've been a midwife 12 years now, but I've spent the last 7 years at the National Maternity Hospital. I trained in Australia and then I came over here to even the score of the Irish going over to there.
Yeah, because I always thought it was one-way traffic, that all of our nurses were going to Australia and Canada and other places.
Well, we're getting a few back over now.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
And what? Explain yourself.
Explain myself.
Yes.
Ireland has won me over big time. It's such a welcoming country, I found, and like, it's a great hospital to work in, my favourite job I've ever worked. And I made great friends, and you just,
And there was no connection with Ireland, was there?
No, not at all. I just thought it'd be a lovely place to meet some Irish babies.
And I know a lot of Australian people come up to Europe, do they?
Yeah, exactly. It's very done for Aussies to travel, but I think they do London more so than Ireland. That's a little bit off the beaten track.
Right.
But I've had the best adventure. Like, you just can't beat moving to a country that's really welcoming and great crack.
Yeah, and did you plan to stay, or did it happen by accident?
No, I was just like, I'll just do a few years, get some experience, and then I've just, had a excellent experience. And I love going to work. Like, you can't complain with great colleagues, so.
And how many Christmases have you worked?
I think I've worked a lot of Christmases. Like, I'd volunteer because my family is back in Australia.
Yeah.
So I think for most of the 7 years, I volunteered to work Christmas Day. Because I find it's so joyous and cheery and really pleasant. It's such a fun time.
And is there competition between the mothers to have a baby on Christmas Day?
I don't know if anyone wants a baby on Christmas Day now. I think most people would be very happy to be out of hospital. But we try and make it great fun and, like, just bring really positive
And are you guaranteed to have a baby on Christmas?
Oh, sure, there's
the
nothing.
Law of averages,
there's
yes.
nothing guaranteed, but I've never had a Christmas where I haven't had a baby.
Yes.
Yeah. So we would always have someone in the door.
Mm.
Yeah.
And then the names, like I've met Hollies, I've met Noels, I've met Carols over the years. I've never met a Rudolph. And do they usually go along with a Christmas name? Or
I think names are a big deal. I think people have their names sorted long before Christmas Day comes into the factor. But I was asking my colleagues, and we've had definitely like Baby Noels and Robins and some beautiful Christmassy names.
Robins, they're
definitely around.
Yeah. Now, Darren's sitting beside you, station officer with Tara Street Fire Station in uniform. Good afternoon.
Darren's looking far more respectable.
This is radio, you can be wearing it.
Yeah, two things on your epaulette.
Yeah.
So
there's a rank system in the fire brigade. It goes from chief fire officer down to recruit firefighter. So when you get the sub-officer, you have two bars on your shoulder and two stripes on a yellow helmet. And then when you get the station officer, then they're actually impellers. They're a symbol of a pump.
Oh, yeah.
Two of those is a station officer in a white helmet with a stripe. And then the district officer then is another different symbol. Uh-huh. And then as you go up then, so.
And that's important because when you're on site.
Yeah, so what? Yeah, at an incident then you'd wear either a tabard with an incident commander or a sector commander tabard and then different colour helmet with a different stripe, and then people on the fire ground know who's looking after what sector.
So Christmas, have you done it before?
Yeah, I started operational. I joined the fire brigade on the 13th of June 2005, and my first operational day was actually the 11th of December last week in 2005, so that was my first. I went straight into Christmas Eve. The first Christmas
21 actually, years ago. You're 21 years.
Yeah, 2005 now. In 19, what are we now? 24, yeah.
Oh, it's 19. Yeah. Sorry, you're right. 19. Yeah. God, I thought I was good at maths. 19. Years. So you're overnight then.
Yeah, so
basically. This is really important. So what time do you start at?
So I've the luxury. I'm actually finished on Christmas morning.
Yeah.
I start work on Christmas Eve at 6 in the evening, and I work straight through till 10 o'clock on Christmas morning. Because it's a bank holiday, we finish on Sunday, we finish at 10. So our day shifts are 9 hours and our night shifts are 15 hours.
And you've all sorts of telecommunications and radars and all that sort. So you'd be perfectly positioned to know the goings on when it comes to the man in red.
Exactly, yeah. So if anyone that follows on social media, any of the mams and dads follow us on social media, around 6:37 on 7 p.m. on Christmas Eve, we have a 42-metre turntable ladder in Tara Street that we can see over the whole city. So we're going to put that up, and we're going to put a video up from there, and we're going to see, can we see the big man coming across the sky?
And I suppose if anything does happen, there's a sort of a heightened sense of tragedy, isn't there, around Christmas if something bad happens?
Yeah, so like, you know, we're for an EMS base, like, you know, so we've dual role as firefighters and paramedics, so we 14 ambulances across our 12 stations. And yeah, you see everything. Like, you know, we deliver babies out on the road as well. We do, like, you know, domestic fires, even the smallest little fire in a home. And any time over Christmas, like, where presents are destroyed or kids' kind of environment is destroyed, can be a tragedy for families. You get to see every part of it, you know. So, yeah, the job comes with the good stuff and a lot of the bad stuff.
Probably less domestic fires
thankfully.
Things are safer, aren't they?
They are. So if you look at the risk to life, if you look at 20 years ago, like, there was an average, like, you know, up to 40 people a year dying in domestic fires. No sad news there this afternoon of two people died in a fire, I think in Tipperary there during the night, which is, you know, it's sad
it's
news
tragedy,
at this time
yeah.
of the year, you know. But fire deaths in Ireland have been driven down and down and down. And it's the advent of, like, every home now that's built has mains powered smoke detectors interlinked. You know, there's all these, you know, systems. And then you've got rid of the incandescent Christmas lights, was a big thing as well, LED lights.
LEDs are a lot safer.
You know, technology's a lot more advanced. You know, technology comes with its risks as well. But I think there's much more awareness, like,
that's,
you know.
But that's, I was going to say that. There's a lot more education around it, isn't
like
there?
If you imagine people having a point 25 years ago and they're talking about, I'm going to go down to buy two smoke detectors, someone would probably laugh at you, you know. If you told people you didn't have smoke detectors now, they'd probably go and buy them, like, you know. It's huge, like. But the thing I think around December is there's a lot more activity in the house. There's a lot more fuel in the house. There's a lot more things going on. And I think people may drop their guard a little bit, you know, to get, you know, kind of, I suppose, distracted by things, you know.
Ladders as well, putting up lights. That's a big thing, isn't it?
We deal with it all. People take a lot of risks, you know. It's just, you know, where they might be mindful throughout the rest of the year, there's a bit of pressure coming to Christmas and all. They're getting it from all angles, so they kind of, the guard drops.
So you and Emma have something in common, as in both of you have delivered. How many have you delivered?
Yeah,
how many babies
I
have you delivered?
I think at the minute, I'm about five. There's some people in the job have done.
Emma, how many have you delivered?
Double figures.
That's a very respectable number of babies to deliver, I have to say. I haven't counted, but I would have conservatively an estimate of 600. But yeah, I feel like
you
it's
can have that one.
Up there.
Sorry, Darren.
You can give it a.
Well, I suppose he gets extra points because it's not in a controlled environment.
Oh, 100%. Yes. Like, yeah. Very respectable. Yeah.
So, have you mainly in people's homes, is it, or side of the road, or?
Back of ambulances, yeah, and rooms and houses, yeah.
Yeah. It's a joyous thing, though, isn't it? It's a. To be there like, when
it's the
a new human
thing.
Being is coming into the world.
It's amazing. Mm. Yeah. And it never stops being amazing. It's so magical. Yeah. And then throw in Christmas and you're like, oh, sure, it's a great day.
You've got a bit of the Irishism there. Yeah. Sure, it's a great day. And the crack we were having. So will you ring home now on Christmas Day or what's
I will,
the plan?
Yeah. Like I'll find a little minute where it's not too big, like too busy. And then I'll go and call my family and we'll have a lovely little phone call across the world. Yeah, it's lovely.
Yeah. Trevor, I was out in the Helix on Friday night and there was a concert for the Simon community in Dublin. And somebody said to me, isn't it very sad that organisations like this have to exist? Like we're a rich country. And similarly, with the service you provide on Christmas Day, it's a bit sad that it has to happen. It has to be the way it is.
And it's kind of sad that the numbers aren't going down. You know, the numbers are still there. We've seen a lot of the international community coming to join us over the last few years.
Yeah.
A lot of people who just have nowhere else to be at Christmas will come along to the RDS just to drink in the atmosphere.
So it's less about the food, more about the company.
It is. You know, we just provide a great atmosphere.
As you say, you don't ask any
questions.
We just lay
it on and we provide the atmosphere. Whoever comes, comes. But we definitely know that, you know, some people come just because they want to be with other people for Christmas Day. And that applies just as much to the volunteers as it does to the guests that we have. Sometimes with all the Christmas jumpers and Santa hats going on, it's kind of hard to tell the difference between our guests and our volunteers. We don't ask anyone. We just have a great old day.
Can you describe the atmosphere there to us?
I get there at about 6:30, 6:45. And, you know, it's all quiet. And then the lights go on and it's red and green lights. And, you know, the Christmas lights go on and the Christmas tree is lit and all the tables are set and the balloons are being blown up. And, you know, we're just
Christmas music piping through the speakers.
All we need is, you know, the big man after his long, hard night to sit in the corner and sort of welcome all the guests on the arrival. But it's great. And then our volunteers start coming in from about 7:00, 7:30 onwards. And then the takeaway meals start being collected from about 8:00 on. Right. We pack all of the gift bags the day before on Christmas Eve, so that's just a hive of activity Christmas Eve. And then the smell of turkey starts coming out through the kitchen and everybody's taste buds get going and just, you know, that sense of anticipation. And then the guests will come in. We lay on transport from the Dublin City Centre, a couple of 50-seat coaches that will do a shuttle service in and out from Cleary's, the forecourts, and outside the Mansion House. The guests arrive in and they bring their own, you know, sense of excitement and anticipation.
And everybody who needs to know about it knows about it.
We do a lot of social media broadcasting. Yeah. Social media the last few years has been absolutely fantastic for us. But we do a lot of postering and you know, printing of invitations that we distribute to anywhere, you know, anyone, anywhere that we can. So the word is definitely out there that you know, we're open for business. Yeah. Except it's not business. Everything is laid on.
No, and 100 years of doing that, which is amazing. And Emma, I know in some hospitals there's competition between the wards to see who's the most Christmassy.
We do have a Christmas decoration competition.
Oh, do you? Right.
And we take it very seriously.
Right.
Like, and everyone goes to so much effort. Like at the moment we have handcrafted like paper chains all over the wards. Like it's really brilliant. And this is it. People move through the hospital. Sometimes people are there for like days. Sometimes people are there for weeks. So it's nice to have people move through and feel the good vibes everywhere they go. Yeah. And it's fun for the staff as well.
Are you here for the long term? As in,
I'd say so.
You're limited in what you can do. You can't really put Christmas decorations on a fire engine, can you?
Not really.
No,
on the truck. No, but the stations are done up.
Yeah.
So people that follow us as LEC, the 12 days of Christmas, we pick each station, our full-time stations. And we've two retained stations in Skerries and Balbriggan. Yeah, so the stations are decorated like, you know, it's home from home, like, you know, so there's trees and there's decorations in all the stations and, you know, it's as jovial as it can be.
And in all your experience of working Christmas Day, was there ever a time you didn't get a call out? Or there's always guaranteed to be something?
There's always something. Yeah. Christmas Day is actually quite a busy day for us. We were just chatting outside, you know, about the kind of things we get. So you get kind of like, you know, people buy quad bikes for kids. People buy motorbikes for kids, you know. We get serious accidents. We've had fatalities on Christmas Day involving them. You know, you get the fuse board being overloaded. Every single thing that can be turned on in the house is turned on. And if there's a weak point in the fuse board, it's going to go. We get all that kind of things, yeah. You get.
And then, unfortunately, families are together and there's drink involved and everything that could go along with that.
Yeah.
Most ones are happy and there's a sing-along and all that, but it can go a bit ugly, I suppose, in some cases.
We were just saying aside as well, like, you know, we have the luxury of being full-time firefighters in Dublin. Like, you know, we start and finish at a specific time, but there's retained firefighters all over the country on a pager, and they can be sitting down ready to have the Christmas dinner with the families, the pager goes and they're gone. Like, you know, so
they have
there's a huge sacrifice
get up from
that they
their
make.
Smoked salmon and brown bread and go into
there's a huge sacrifice they make, you know.
Well, listen, you're here as representatives of all the people who sacrifice their time and the time, not just time, but time with their family on Christmas Day and serve the country, keep us safe. Feed people who need feeding, deliver babies who need delivering, put out fires that need been put out. So thank you very much for coming in. Thanks very much, Trevor. Thanks very much, Emma. And thanks very much, Darren. Thank you. Happy Christmas to you all.
Thanks,
thank you.
Cheers.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.